We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Happy New Year's to all you great stewards of land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Currently 48 degrees. Wind chill is 43. The winds are out of the south at 11 miles an hour, gusting up to 14, and our humidity is 33%. I'll have your Long Ranger coming up later on in the forecast, in the show. Hope everybody had a great, safe weekend for Happy New Year's. I had a pretty good time. We had our Thursday evening, we had our Paragon Communications New Year's party and office party, and it was awesome. It was funny. They had one of those hypnotists there, and I'm telling you what, between Matt Boyette and Sean Wilson and Tori, oh my gosh, it was hilarious. I hadn't laughed that hard in a long time, but it was pretty good. So anyway, got that over with, and then Friday went and put in 1, 2, 3, 4 H's and 2 corners, got them all cemented in with the help of Rob Bruner out here east of Elk on some property that I helped take care of some heifers on. And we had it was hard work, 32 bags of cement, and it was a good day for it. Got that all done. Saturday, it was just, I was gonna get up and go quail hunting, but the ice on the ground kind of held me back a little bit because I don't want to mess up my dog's feet. And then watch football. Had some, my wife made me some tacos, and we had all kinds of stuff going on around the house. Just hung around the house, started a fire, got the fire going. And then yesterday went and checked, I fed the cattle Friday evening. Yesterday went and checked the cattle, and lo and behold, there was a baby born Saturday night in that cold weather. But for some reason, cattle are tough. They're tough. That baby calf was up running around like he was 2 weeks old. So he was doing good. I named him Perky because he's so perky. But looked like mama was doing all right. He had plenty of milk. She must have some potent milk because I'm not kidding you. That calf was acting like he was 2 weeks old. But then we got... I was going to go quail hunting again, and I decided to just go home, watch football, and do some things around the house. But, well, the grain market looks pretty good. Soybeans are surging, and grains are higher in overnight trading in the first session of 2022. Concerns about dry weather in South America and signs of demand gave prices a boost overnight. Crops in southern Brazil were sown in extremely dry soils as farmers waited for rainfall that never arrived, according to the data from Weather Trend 360. Planting in the north was done when moisture was ample, but in the south, the farmers weren't so lucky. Weather Trend 360 said it expects precipitation in much of the country this week, but parts of Rio Grande, where moisture is at its severe deficits, likely won't see the wetter patterns. Temperatures also expected to be slightly above normal this week in much of Brazil. Corn futures were higher on signs of some demand for U.S. supplies. Exporters said last week that an unnamed country purchased 269,240 metric tons of corn for delivery in the marketing year that started on September 1st. And that was according to the USDA. Soybean futures for March delivery jumped 21.5 cents to $13.60¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal gained $4.40 to $403.50 a short ton, and that's $403.50. And soy oil added 0.93 cents to 57.46 cents a pound. Corn futures for March delivery surged at 6.5 cents to $5.99¾ a bushel. Wheat futures for March delivery rose 3 cents to $7.73¾ a bushel, while Kansas City futures gained 7 cents to $8.85 a bushel. Drought is likely to persist in the Southern Plains this month, and I'm going to hit on that here right after this grain report, so I won't even talk about that. Wind chills are expected around minus 20 in parts of Iowa. Wind chills are expected to drop in parts of eastern Iowa and northern Illinois this morning, according to the National Weather Service. Values are expected to fall to around minus 20 degrees through mid-morning. In parts of northern and central Missouri, wind chills today will range minus 5 to minus 15 with the coldest temperatures near the Iowa border. Further north in parts of South Dakota and Minnesota, light snow is expecting starting tomorrow. Around 2 inches of accumulation is expected in those areas. Arctic air moves in with bitterly to dangerously cold wind chills Tuesday night through Friday morning through those areas. Well, tell you about my stupid deal I done. I woke up Saturday morning, hanging out a little bit, and it dawned on me. I forgot to go drain my irrigation across the river from the house. Luckily for me, I hauled around there and opened the valve. The little valve was frozen, but the big valves were still going, and I just opened them up, got wet because it sprays all over you when you open the big valves because of the pressure, and I got her drain. It was here. I preach about it, and I don't know. I just got to building fence Friday, and it was on my mind. And then I went and fed cattle, and it was after dark before I got the last herd of cows fed, because I waited for them to all show up and make sure everything was hunky dory, and I just plumb forgot about it. And what I got, a big 8-inch yellow mine line on top of the ground for my side row over there on the north field. And it holds, well, it's a quarter mile of pipe going downhill, so that's how much water was in it. Figured it up sometime as 7,000 or 8,000 gallons of water in there. But anyway, I got her drained. No damage done so far. So anyway, that was the stupid thing of the deal. Well, according to the new drought monitor, wherever it is, right there, that was put out last Thursday, in the south, the D3 extreme drought areas basically is all of our listening area here now. Most of all of western Oklahoma, southwestern Oklahoma, Texas Panhandle, and the Oklahoma Panhandle. So according to what they said, based on persistent dryness, periods of enhanced winds, and anomalous warm this month, and worsening soil moisture conditions, a broad one category degrade was made of much of Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Most locations across southwestern Oklahoma, along with the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, have received less than 0.10 inch of precipitation during the past 70 to 80 days. As of December 28th, Amarillo, Texas had observed no precipitation for 76 consecutive days, which is the longest dry streak on record. Additional expansion of various DX levels were also made across much of the remainder of Texas due to persistent dryness and much above normal temperatures. Month-to-date temperatures as of December 28th has averaged more than 8 degrees above normal throughout nearly all of Oklahoma and Texas. The current depletion of conditions across Arkansas, Louisiana, and Mississippi was at a balance among SPI values, soil moisture, and 28-day average stream flows. During the past 90 days, precipitation has averaged less than 50% of normal throughout much of the lower Mississippi Valley. So I know that wasn't good news for us, but you know what? We're a day closer to rain, as always. We always will be every day. Some people got a trace Friday night and Saturday, and some in our listening area got 3 to 4 tenths of rain Friday night and Saturday. When I went down to feed the cows Friday night there in the breaks west of Willow there, I was almost too late because it was raining when I got down there, and those roads around my place down there have all been completely rebuilt, and since they have been completely rebuilt, it hadn't rained a drop till the other night. And if I'd been 10 minutes later, I don't know if I could have got out of there. But anyway, we got some rain down there. Wasn't a couple, 2 or 3 tenths maybe at the most, but hey, it's a good start. I'll take it. I'll take any rain the Lord will bring us. So, well, today on my show, since this is the start of a new year, I'm going to spend each segment. Next segment, I'm going to be talking about the wheat. Next segment after that, I'm going to be talking about the outlook on cotton for 2022. And the last segment, I'm going to be talking about the outlook on the cattle for 2022. So when I get back, we'll start in with the wheat. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Are you in the market to buy or sell cattle? Then don't miss Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale's every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. Buyers can bid in person or online. To consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. That's 580-331-8547. Be sure and check out the market reports and each week's penny news. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right. It is currently 48 degrees, wind chill 42, winds are out of the southwest at 15 gusting to 18 miles an hour, slowly getting up there. Anyway, hey, did you guys keep an update on the Cattlemen's Congress? It started Saturday in Oklahoma City. It was great. I've been following it on social media, and plus they've got on their website, they got a deal where you can watch it live. It's pretty cool. Well, so far, the champions that have been named, the grand champion, Junior Red Angus Female, was shown by Riley Morse. The Reserve Grand Champion Junior Red Angus female was shown by Morley Griffin. The Grand Champion Open Texas Longhorn female came from Tanner Longhorns. The Reserve Grand Champion Open Texas Longhorn female was from Tamara and Thomas Bush. The Grand Champion Red Angus Bull come from JCL Red Angus, Majestic Meadows, and Connolly Cattle. The Reserve Grand Champion Red Angus Bull was shown by Ty Scott and Callie Bear. Grand Champion Open Texas Longhorn Bull was shown by Chaparral Cattle Company. And the Reserve Champion Open Texas Longhorn Bull was shown by George and Cindy Dennis. Get on their website or get on their Facebook page and look at these cattle. These are perfect specimens of the bovine species. That Texas Longhorn Bull, wow. And the Red Angus heifer, all of them. I just can't say enough about them. But they've also had their limousine sale and another sale, and they went really well. So this Cattlemen's Congress in Oklahoma that's kind of taking the place of the Denver Stock Show is doing very well. Attendance is great. And like I said, just get on their Facebook page or their website, cattlemenscongress.com. Just Google it. It'll come right up. And look at the pictures of these cattle. It's awesome. Just to remind you, the KECO Ag Text line is open at 580-225-9697. We're streaming live on Facebook, streaming live on our Paragon app on your iPhone. And if you miss part of the show and you want to listen to it, you can always go to KECOFM.com, tab on the Today in Ag live show, and scroll down there to the show you missed or whichever one you want to listen to. Anyway, it's a good time. Let's see here. Let's start with the outlook 2022 on wheat. The big picture trend for U.S. wheat is clear. The U.S. continues to plant less and less wheat, which is combined with higher international competition. That's what we get for showing these people how to grow crops. That's all I'm going to say about that. Anyway, I know we are small fish in the big global wheat pond, says Jerry Kuchel, president of the Kuchel Group. There's a lot of wheat produced in the world, and we're not as significant as what we think we might be. We're significant when there's shortage of wheat in the world. In 2021, all wheat acres planted totaled 46.7 million acres, which was a 5% increase from 2020. Wheat acres have been on a steady decline in the United States for the past decade. For instance, in 2008, all wheat acres equaled 65 million acres. So we're almost 20 million acres less. So here's a couple numbers to run by you. In 2012, there was 55.3 million acres planted. In 2014, there was 56.8 million acres planted. In 2017, 46.1. In 2021, 46.7 million acres planted, with 2020 being the lowest acreage planted, was 44.5 million acres, with 36 million of those being harvested. By 2030-31, the USDA expects wheat acres to decrease to 44.5 million acres, which will be way below the five-year average of 46.7 million acres. USDA expects a pattern due to weak relative returns that do not encourage shifting acres out of row crops into wheat. In addition, neither domestic nor export demand are expected to significantly tighten the U.S. wheat balance sheet, nor do they provide significant price support. The drought concerns. As of mid-December, a significant portion of the U.S. wheat acres are experiencing drought. And let's see here. The NASS will publicize its final 2021 crop results on January 12, 2022, including the drought-stricken spring crop report. Canada is recognized in early December. Their premium wheat crop stocks were higher than expectations. The crop in the CME futures could be telling us what may be realized in January in the crop in the south of the border of the United States. Chicago wheat price started its bull run from the July harvest low with the post-harvest retraction before beginning its urgent up move in attempt to ration supply. While wheat lost $1 per bushel during the short pre- and post-Thanksgiving period, the 38% retracement at $7.80 a bushel needs to be put in perspective. Previously, September 2020, Chicago wheat spent 6 years below $6 a bushel. The rallies in wheat prices were easy to spark in the fall of 2021 because a short Russian 2021 crop triggers supply-side management and export taxes. The U.S. and Canada saw a terrible 2021 growing season in the spring wheat areas. Australian big 2021 crop turned into a bust when harvest season rains turned much of the crop to feed quality. The U.S. wheat growers saw a less than ideal start to 2022 hard red winter wheat crop. But easy rallies take years to develop, especially in wheat. After 5 years of global wheat supplies starting in 2013 and 14 marketing years, global stocks have tightened in two of the past three marketing years. Let me scroll down to this deal right here. Yeah, here we go. All right. Winter wheat areas in drought. This is the end of December in 2021. Approximately 53% of winter wheat production is within an area experiencing drought. Spring wheat areas in drought. 69% of the spring wheat production is within an area experiencing drought, and we're talking extreme drought. So there's that on that. All right, with consumption expected to outpace production again in 2021-22, Flory says tight global supplies of milling quality wheat limits downside price risk and leave the market sensitive to supply side shocks for at least two more crop years. Domestically, the last time U.S. wheat stocks were under 600 million bushels, winter wheat futures traded just over $9. Both old and the new crops, soft red winter wheat futures traded above $8.50 in November. History, the so-so winter, wheat crop conditions, and a trend of tightening global stock means rallies approaching $9 and SRW futures, SRWs being soft red winter wheat, is likely and should be rewarded with new crop sales. Don't panic if futures retreat to near the $8 level before turning back to the upside. So there you got it on the wheat. There's about four or five guys quoting on this, what they think is going to happen in 2022 with the wheat crop looking out. So there you have it. Well, when I get back, we're going to talk about cotton. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, December 10th. 1,715 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 357 brought 229. 4 at 541 brought 158. 9 at 628 brought 144. 6 at 664 brought 142. 10 at 749 brought 151. 13 at 983 brought 142.50. 10 head of heifers at 349 brought 159. 4 at 440 brought 138. 6 at 535 brought 141.50. 12 at 608 brought 132.50. 7 at 697 brought 136. 17 at 1046 brought 122.50. 25. $6.95. Butcher cows were 10 to 84. Bred cows, 600 to 1470. Butcher bulls, 35 to 94. Pairs brought 1150 to 1625. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Yep, I'm back. Let's see what the weather currently is. 49 with a wind chill effect of 44. Winds are out of the south-southwest, 13 miles an hour, gusting up to 16 miles an hour. Let's see what the air temperatures are around our local area, see if anybody's extremely cool. Nah, it looks like everybody's in the same boat, except up Woodward, they're 55 degrees. Arnett's 51. Camargo's 51. Butler's at 52. Altus is, it looks like the, no. Yeah, Altus is the coolest at 45, and Hollis is at 47. Well, I wanted to read this to you real quick on the grain markets real quick. Where'd it go? There we go. We was talking about the grains a while ago. This analyst says to keep your 2022 grain marketing pencils sharpened. The end of the year can be filled with emotion. There's a little doubt that last year had challenges and victories. We are blessed to have made it through another year. As 2021 came to an end, we are seeing some of the best grain and livestock pricing opportunities. When looking back at the March-April 2020 period when a new virus shook the world, things looked bleak from a variety of perspectives. On one hand, COVID has been a challenge, a difficulty that became a top priority for everyone worldwide. It has changed the world from so many perspectives, and man, has it ever. On the other hand, hard work, dedication, and doing the right thing continue to prevail in what our new in our new world order, dealing with and adjusting to the pandemic. As we look ahead to the 2022, farmers will continue to move forward doing the best they can, like they always do. We will, too, work to provide the best content and the ideals daily. The year 2022 will have its challenges for sure, perhaps many we cannot anticipate at this time. Yet from a marketing perspective, we encourage every farmer to be vigilant and taking advantage of opportunities. Higher input costs are facing everyone. There's no exceptions. Keep your marketing pencil sharp. Looking back at this past year, one might argue that being more complacent and taking action may have been a good marketing approach. With prices high to start 2022, this same approach could be a disaster. No one knows. Ultimately, striving for consistent best practices will, in the long run, likely be necessary approach. Doing nothing is a choice, and by some accounts, extreme. A new year is also a chance to make a new commitment. Commit to learning more about your marketing alternatives. Knowledge is power. Spend time reviewing markets. Just listen to me. I'll give you the markets. and dedicate some time each day or week to review and stay informed. Work with your advisor, focusing on strategy. Strategy is preparing your operation for whatever the market does. Bottom line is that this is a new year upon us. Whether we're ready or not, those who are prepared through learning, dedication, and strategy will likely better manage the potential price volatility to come as we turn the page to 2022. There you have it. Let's go to cotton. You guys ready for some cotton report? Hey, FYI, sale barns are all opening back up this week. Matter of fact, Woodward Livestock Auction, is the cow and bull sale is going on right now. Thursday, they will have their calf sale. Wednesday, get a hold of Rex Fleming down there at Hobart Stockyards, and they'll be having their sale this Wednesday. And then starting this Friday at Elk City Livestock Auction, they'll fire their sale back up. Get a hold of Brandon Hickey for that, and get a hold of him for Monday on the 10th, I believe it is. The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be firing right back up. So hook them trailers up, air them tires up, and get to cracking. The sales are going again. Well, here is your 2022 outlook for cotton. Don't expect the dizzling heights of $1.21 per pound, but it's $1.15 today, so it's pretty close. But the cotton outlook appears relatively solid for 2022, bouncing up from 11.2 million planted acres in 2021. The cotton belt could see 12 million acres this year, and possibly more. Fueled by COVID clampdown and release, cotton's amazing run from the 50-cent basement in 2020 to a pinnacle of $1.21 in November of 2021 bodes well for 2022, with strong prices projected on the near horizon. How wide might cotton's blanket stretch in 2022? Scott Stiles, extension economist with the University of Arkansas System Division of Agriculture, sees 12 million acres ballpark figure. Certainly, we've seen some back off from the extremely high fall prices of 2021, but when you still got December prices trading nearly 90 cents, it's an attractive price to growers. Right now, I guess acres climb about 900,000 acres this year and get us back to around 12 million acres. In concordance with Stiles, John Robinson, Texas A&M University Extension cotton economist, projects approximately 12 million acres with significant upward leeway. I think we'll do a little over 12 million acres, he said, and I have a big question mark over the dryness of La Nina. Now, it's got everybody thinking about stuff with La Nina, because La Nina is in full force. If you don't believe me, ask any farmer or rancher in our listening area. Texas, who is the U.S. cotton giant with a footprint covering well over half of all nationwide acres each year, is currently under a La Nina advisory. Translated, growers face drought conditions, a heavyweight concern at planting, particular for Texas' large percentage of dryland growers. When it's this dry, and likely insurance price for cotton is going to be comparably high, farmers respond by planting more cotton. They put seed in the ground and see what happens. Considering La Nina, there's a possibility for 500,000 to 1 million more acres of cotton just in Texas alone. How much of that gets harvested is a separate matter, but I can certainly see how acreage numbers could go up. Stiles echoes concerns over dry conditions. Talk about a wild card. The La Nina effect is very real, and prices will respond if it goes on long enough. One way or the other, this could be the driver for the market. The Lubbock area received below normal rainfall from September to November this year, of last year, I mean. December's tend to be a dry month as well. The High Plains region is now considered to be in a moderate to severe drought, and it is. with a new update last Thursday from the U.S. Drought Monitor. It is all in a severe drought. The cotton market will be following this closely in the months ahead. Prices, planted acres, and harvested acres are often in separate topics in the cotton belt, and the differences frequently are not resolved until approach of fall. A possibly weather market situation in 2022 could keep prices supported. There is potential for strong prices in 2022, Robinson says, but I think we'll return in more of the supply and demand rationale for prices, which should put us in the 80s and 90s. Not likely over a dollar by next harvest, but still room for strong prices. Cotton price stories date back from roughly 20 months, according to Stiles, and relates to dual key factors. First is record world meal use. We came out of the COVID and the general economy opened, and now you see the USDA projecting numbers of over 124 million bales in meal use for 2021 marketing year, and that's a record. Second, if inflation is on the horizon, money tends to move into the commodity markets, speculative money starting moving through the long, that's the buy side, of cotton market during April of 2020 when cotton was trading in the low 50 cent area. It was a bargain, and they rode it to well over a buck. Well, there's your outlook for 2022 for cotton, and I've even thought about planting some cotton, but that's all I did was think about it. So anyway, I'm going to stick with my hay crops. I got the equipment for it, and there's no use in going out and spending any money for equipment that I don't need and I don't know that I even want. But I do have friends in low places if I decide to plant some cotton, so I might be calling up on them. It might cost me some beer, but I'll get her done. But anyway, well, when we come back, our last segment, the first day of the new year on our show, we're going to be talking cattle, one of my favorite subjects. So anyway, it's Today in Ag, Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting the second annual Ag Tech Open Invitational this January 15th. Be at the Western Equipment John Deere dealership in Plainview, Texas for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $25,000 in prizes. This competition is for any high school junior or senior that has an interest in mechanics, agriculture, or who just wants to win prizes. Parents and teachers don't feel left out. There will be a career expo to learn all about Western Equipment and job opportunities to pursue within the company. There are limited spots, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, December 14th, we sold 1,069 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, December 16th, we sold 2,674 kids and feeders for a total of 3,743 cattle for the week. We will be closed for 2 weeks. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 69 to 782. Then cows bring 40 up to 59.5. Bulls bring 60 to 95. 2 day year old bred cows, 885 to 1085, with a 2 to 4 year old pairs bringing 1550. 100 steer cattle, 11 steers weighing 284, bring 232. 3 to 350 steers, $2 to 230. 19 steers weighing 405, bring 235. 450 to 5 weights, 178.50 to 206. 6 to 650, 148 to 168. 7 to 750, 142 to 158. 8 to 850, 145 to 158 and a quarter. 9 to 950, 148 to 152. And 42 steers weighing 1,001, bring 145.50. On our heifers, 7 heifers weighing 230, bring 230. 3 to 350, 168 to 208. 4 to 450, 157 to 170. 5 to 550, 138 to 152. 6 to 650, 135 to 146.5. 7 to 750, 141 to 145.50. And 8 to 850, 147.50 to 148. And 9 heifers weighing 918, bring 130. Again, this is our last sale for this year. We definitely appreciate your business. We hope you have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We'll be back Tuesday, January the 4th, Thanksgiving, January 9, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Currently 51 degrees, humidity is 24, wind is out of the south-southwest at 14 miles an hour, gusting to 18 miles an hour. Today, high 52, we're almost there. Tonight, low around 27. Tomorrow, it looks like it's going to be beautiful, 64 degrees with southwest winds at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, 26. Wednesday, looks like it cools off a little bit to 47 degrees for a high. But Wednesday night, it looks pretty chilly, 12 for a low. Thursday is 28 for a high. Thursday night is 12 degrees. And then looks like it starts slowly warming back up Friday, 43. And Saturday looks great, 64 degrees. And I get to go announce my first hog show here at Elk City Saturday. Then I think I'm going to Clinton the next Saturday and into Hobart Wednesday. So if you guys want to hear how not to announce a hog show, come join me. And I'll show you how not to announce a hog show. Anyway, it should be fun. I'll try to make it fun anyway. Anyway, that's your Hobart Farm and Garden weather update with the Long Ranger. And if you're watching on Facebook, I got their hat on today. Hobart Farm and Garden. They gave me a couple free hats when I went down there and purchased some shotguns there a couple weeks ago. So anyway, everything's good. All right, let's see what's happening with the outlook of 2022. And it's optimistic, it looks like. Optimism is building in the cattle country that 2022 will finally deliver a long-anticipated bull market for cattle. Ranchers and cattle feeders saw markets turn higher in the final weeks of 2021, while many of the challenges faced in industry last year will continue. Most analysts suggest improving prices are a trend that will continue beyond this year. Demand for beef, both domestically and in our export markets, was strong throughout 2021 and will continue, says John Nalvaca. He's with the Sterling Marketing. With declining cattle numbers, we're seeing the things fall into place for better cattle markets the next couple of years. Market-ready supplies of fed cattle have tightened, and packers are actively chasing cattle for the first time in many months. In general, cattle prices are higher now compared to a year ago and are expected to continue improving in 2022. So just to give you a kind of an outlook, 2015, the U.S. feeder cattle supply estimates was at 24,630, and right now we're at 25,067, but the highest was in 2019 at 27,315. The average estimated cow-calf margins was, let's just read all these off. 2013 was, some of this is hard to read, $273. And 2014, it was $496. And in 2015, $396. The lowest was in 2020 at $79. 2021 was at $118. Estimated value on the cow-calf margins in 2022 looks like it's going to be back up to almost $300. So that's pretty good. Such sentiment is shared by the industry analysts across the country who see robust demand continuing as the industry has worked through many of the pandemic-related challenges. Cattle Facts CEO Randy Blanch said the cattle cycle should have seen a peak in 2020, but it was pushed back by the pandemic-related slaughter bottlenecks. And for you guys listening that don't understand what that pandemic-related slaughter bottleneck was, is a lot of cattle on feed in the feedlots. A lot of farmers and ranchers had cattle out here in the pastures. And because of the COVID regulations, they cut back on their labor, cut back on their per day kill at the slaughter plants. And then people started getting the COVID. They lost some more people. And when things fired back up last year, they were at a third of what they were supposed to be at the plant. Say, I'm just going to give you an example. One of the slaughter plants, one of the big four, I call it, usually has 5,400 employees. They had 1,600 employees. They usually run two shifts during the week and one shift over the whole weekend. They weren't operating on the weekends. They only had one shift during the week. And these feedlots were backing up with cattle that was ready to go to the slaughter plant. And it couldn't, you know, maybe one place was doing 5,000 head a day but pre-COVID. And then after the COVID, they was only doing 1,500 head. So all these things got in a bottleneck. But meanwhile, these grocery store chains and the people buying these cattle from the slaughter plants, from the processing plants, if you want me to call them that, they were bidding. They wanted the meat. So the processors say, hey, how much you give for it? So it skyrocketed the meat at the processing, which in return skyrocketed up at the grocery store, and it's still going on. This has been a long, hard-fought battle. Retail beef prices have gone up substantially, and demand has been out of this world. Cattle prices just haven't shared it in that move up until now. Slowly been going up, and I've been watching it since the start of the show, and he's right. The market's slowly going up, and I know it ain't there where you guys want it, but believe me, it's coming up. Demand has been very strong for all proteins, including pork and poultry. All the proteins have benefited from the demand push that we've experienced. Demand may be good, but tightening supplies are the primary factor influencing the analysts' optimism. Cattle numbers are declining as low prices and drought have both led to herd liquidation over the past 2 years. In fact, the U.S. cow slaughter was 10% higher in 2021, and that followed a 3% increase from 2020. We saw the highest beef cow slaughter last year since the drought of 2011. From 2011 to 2013, the drought beginning in the Southwest and moving to the Midwest pushed the beef cow herd numbers in 2024 to its lowest point since 1952. With dairy cow slaughter up roughly 3% in 2021, total cow slaughter posted a 6% increase and the highest since 1996. With those slaughter numbers, Sterling Martin Marketing projects the 2022 beef cow inventory to be 30.2 million, a reduction of over 1 million cows or 3%. Additionally, heifer slaughter in 2021 was the highest since 2011. And we all remember 2011. He projects 2022 heifer slaughter will be 4% lower than 2021 and just marginally higher than 2012. The higher beef, cow, and heifer slaughter numbers that we've seen in 2021 means reduced cattle numbers for 2022 and likely through 2024 are evident. My forecast for the January 1st total cattle inventory is at 91.25 million. That's down 2% from the beginning of 2021, the lowest since 2015, and 475,000 more than the beginning of the 2012 cattle herd. A reduction of the breeding herd will translate into a reduction in the cattle slaughter. He expects total slaughter to be down 2% in 2022 and 3% found in 2021. You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and I'm Jimmy Clark, and we're talking about our cattle futures for 2022. I also expect carcass weights to decline this year as fed cattle numbers decline and feedlots are increasingly current with show list and marketing cattle into a stronger market. Assuming a 1% year-over-year drop in carcass weights, beef production in 2022 will be down 3%. Overall, he projects the total red meat and poultry supply per capita decline about 0.5% to 220.7 pounds in 2022. Even if the demand weakens somewhat, prices across the beef complex, including fed cattle, feeders, and calves, will post notable gains during 2022. That is further supported by the global beef demand. In fact, beef export values soared last week and were expected to exceed $10 billion, according to the USDA. Beef exports reached 115,709 metric tons in October. I almost pulled a Butch Black there. Up 7.5% from a year ago, while export values climbed 48% to $956.9 million. That's the second highest total on record behind August of 2021. Through the first 10 months of the year, beef exports totaled 1.19 million metric tons, and that's up 17% from a year ago. Export value increases 38% to $8.53 billion, surpassing the 2018 record of $8.33 billion with 2 months to spare. The U.S. Meat Export Federation President and CEO Dan Hallstrom acknowledged red meat exports face transportation challenges and rising input costs, yet he expected red meat exports will reach about $18 billion in 2021. While global demand is tremendous and we are cautiously optimistic about further growth in 2022, supply chain pressures are not easy to overcome and are a growing concern for exporters. Well, there you have it. One more thing. The United States Department of Agriculture, National Agriculture Statistics Service, has released the December Cattle on Feed report, and it shows the number of cattle and calves on feed for the slaughter market in the United States for feedlots with capacity of 1,000 head or more was 12 million head on December 1st, according to the story from Gary Crawford. This is slightly below December 1st of last year and pretty much what analysts has expected. Placements in feedlots during November total 1.97 million head, 4% above 2020. Net placements for 1.91 million head. During November, placements of the cattle and calves weighing less than 600 was at 565,000 head. 600 to 699 pound weight calves was at 485,000 head, and 700 to 799 pounds were at 405,000 head, and 800 to 899 weights were at 296,000 head, and the 900 to 999 weights pounds were 130,000 head, and 1,000 pounds and greater was at 90,000 head. Marketing fed cattle during November was 1.87 million head, and that was 5% above 2020. Placements in feedlots during November totaled 1.97 million head, and that was up 4% from 2020. Marketing of fed cattle during November also was at 1.87 million head, and that's also 5% above 2020. Marketing was the highest in November since the series began in 1996. November 2021 included one additional day of slaughter compared to the rest. Well, according to NASS, the NASS, the hog inventory dropped 4%. As of December 1st, 74.2 million hogs and pigs were found on U.S. farms, which is down 4% from last year. or from 2020. Can't remember them in the new year here. Of the 74.2 million hogs, 68 million were marketed hogs, and that's while 6.18 million were kept for breeding. The USDA livestock analyst Shane Shergam, hope I said that right, notes the national hog producers are being very cautious about making moves that would alter production very much. Well, I don't know if you guys follow it, but there's a new law going into effect next month in California. And if a sow doesn't have so many square feet, then you're not allowed to sell your pork in California. You got to have them okayed. And funny thing is, about 85% of their pork comes from out of state. So those goofballs out there have made a law that you're probably not even going to be able to buy any bacon next month in California when that law kicks in. But, or if you do, it's going to cost you a lot of money. Well, Massachusetts, the state of Massachusetts, did the same thing. But last Wednesday, 2 days after the state legislators rewrote a voter-approved animal welfare law, Governor Baker signed a bill into law averting a possible shortage of eggs. The new law revamps housing standards for egg-laying hens and delays until August a prohibition to sell pork products for farms who do not give pigs room enough to lay down. I signed the egg law. I got a cracking. Massachusetts voters passed it in 3-1 in a landslide in 2016. So it's coming into vague. So, but they decided to put everything on hold because they're afraid there's going to be a food shortage because of the new COVID rise going on. So there you have it. They pass a law, but they put it on hold because they're afraid they're going to be short of food. I don't get it. So anyway, both measures require farmers to give hens, veal, calves, and sows more elbow room than is commonly allowed. And this was to take effect last Saturday, but they put everything on hold. So anyway, this shows you some people need to think before they make laws and stuff. Well, hope you guys enjoyed the outlook of 2022. Tomorrow, Lacey's supposed to be back, unless somebody misses work or something and she's got to do the noon newscast, weather forecast. She'll be back tomorrow. I'll have Kent Watkins on Wednesday with SEI Agritech, and we'll have it going on there. So have a great day, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.